It's Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Oscar Robertson. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Rendell 31182. And you can be exactly like Rendell 31182 and be a sponsor of the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast. All you need to do that is leave a review on iTunes. And thank you to everyone who has done that. Clearly, there's still obviously scope for many more people to do it, and it helps tremendously when I'm presenting the show to sponsors. And saying, hey, look at all these people who like the show. Look at all these people who like what I do, who would be interested in hearing from sponsors. And it helps keep things going. It helps the show keep improving. It helps me improve my equipment. It helps me devote more time to it, all that sort of stuff. So thank you to everyone who's done that. And I really would appreciate if anyone who's got a spare 5 minutes, just jump on and leave a review on iTunes. If you weren't aware, my name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball, where you can find all links to all the podcasts, articles, thoughts, answers to questions, all that sort of stuff. You can contact me there. It's pretty straightforward. And of course, there is the Facebook page as well, which is facebook.com/redrockbasketball, which you can interact on as well. Of course, a big thanks to Moneyball, Australia's only daily fantasy sports site. Get on there if you do live in Australia or if you live in New Zealand, and get in on the daily fantasy sports craze, and win yourself some money. Not only NBA, there's NFL, there's Premier League soccer, there is Australian football when that's in season, and they're always looking to expand what they do. So make sure you're heading across to Moneyball. They've got a big tournament that's on tomorrow, so make sure you're getting involved in that, as well as always the double ups and head-to-heads and all that sort of stuff that is present over on Moneyball. All right, Monday, the first day of the week, is in the books. It was a massive day in fantasy. There was just monstrous lines of the night all over the place. Of course, I can only give one. But before we get to that,
let's get to it.
Can't do it without Michael Bolton. The monstrous line of the night. I'm sure you can tell by the title of this podcast. I'm sure you can tell by the tweet that I sent out before. But it is Kemba Walker, who played 47 minutes in an overtime game. He had 39 points. And perhaps most impressive for Kemba Walker is he went 16 of 23, which is 70% from the field. He hit 4 threes, had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He was all over the box score. Only turned it over twice. If you've heard me on this podcast before, you know that I am a staunch Kemba Walker fan. Me and Matt Smith had a wager last season about who's the better fantasy player. He was on Brad Beal's side. I was on Kemba Walker's side. I won it last year. I don't think we re-upped that wager this season, but Walker is on fire. And part of the reason he's on fire, and most of his other stats are pretty much in line with what he normally does, but instead of shooting 39%, which he's done the last two seasons, he's shooting 46% from the field, and he's at 40% from three when he was a 30% shooter the last season. Is he really that much of an improved shooter? I'd say probably not, but he's got a real good chance with guys now who can space the floor, Jeremy Lamb, Nick Batum, in the lineup. He can be a guy who's, instead of a 39% shooter, he can be a 42% shooter. He can be maybe a 43% shooter. And that's big. He's still a punt field goal percentage guy. And in that case, you're getting exactly sort of the Kemba that you expect to get. But what we're seeing is his value in Roto is so much more improved. His 9-cat rank on Basketball Monster for the season is 23rd. He's putting up, and that encapsulates all 9 categories, because he's a really low turnover point guard. So if you're a 9-cat and you are counting those turnover categories and not punting them, say in a Roto format, he's awesome there. Nice assists, big steals, big threes, big scoring, good rebounds, good free throws. He's doing quite a lot. So Kemba Walker has been awesome so far this season. I don't expect this field goal percentage to continue. We have made a slight adjustment to his projection at Basketball Monster. We had him at about 39.8, and I've bumped him up to just a little bit under 41, and we'll see how it runs over the next few weeks. And if he's continuing to shoot big percentages, then it has to go up. But we haven't gone too crazy on it, because his track record suggests that he's not a good shooter. And the addition of these other guys has definitely helped. And when I did the Charlotte Hornets preview earlier this season with Brian Mears of Numberfire, We hypothesized that that would be the case, that maybe he'd be a better shooter because he's got other offensive weapons around him. And it's definitely started off that way. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how Kemba Walker pans out for the rest of this season. The waiver wire line of the night, Matthew Dellavedova. He only played 24 minutes, but he had 15 points. He had 4 threes. He had 9 assists. He had a steal. And like Walker, he was great from the field. Went 5 of 8 from the field. He's been putting up some pretty decent lines with Mo Williams out. These last few games, he's giving you 7.5 assists. He's actually, for the season, been a really good assist guy, averaging 27 minutes on the year, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, a 3, and a steal. And as dumb as that sounds, that can be used in standard leagues. A guy who gives you 6 assists, it definitely can be used. Now, with Mo Williams likely back soon, Kyrie starting to ramp up his activity, Dally's minutes and value is going to drop. But for now, we don't know how long Mo's going to be out, so there's something to be said for looking at Dellavedova in certain situations, and his daily fantasy value while Williams continues to be out is something that is pretty decent. He's improved his field goal percentage significantly this year. Like Walker, he's up from 36 to 44. His per 36 assist numbers are way up on last season as well. So he's definitely improving as a player, which is clearly what you want to see from a guy in his third year. He was not a guy that I thought was a great player, despite the ridiculous hype he got in the finals last year. But the third year has been a massive improvement for Matthew Dellavedova. I don't think he's a must-add player by no stretch. But if you're desperate for assists for this week, might not be a bad option to have a look at a guy who's averaged 7.5 assists over his last 4. There's not going to be many of those guys floating around on your waiver wire, I can pretty much assure you. The young gun of the night, why don't we just name this award the Kristaps Porzingis / Karl Anthony Towns Award. Tonight it goes back to Kristaps Porzingis, who played another 37 minutes, 20 points, 14 rebounds, 3 threes, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks. His shot wasn't quite falling as well as what you'd hope, but it's important that he took 18 shots, the most on the Knicks. 7 of 18, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. How good is this kid? I don't know what to say. I'm so glad they're not limiting his minutes at the moment. He's just playing huge minutes. I'm really going to have to look at his projection and maybe think of bumping up his minutes for the season, because that's 2 or 3 games in a row where he's playing big numbers. He's putting up big double-doubles. Is he the real deal? Yeah, you'd have to say he is. He's just putting up crazy stats. Is he better than Carmelo? Some people will make the argument he's the Knicks' best player. I'm not making that argument, but it's not crazy to think that in 2 years he will be the Knicks' best player. He's clearly their second best player by the difference between him and Melo, and the difference between Kristaps and the Knicks' best player is closer. So Melo and Porzingis, the gap between them is smaller than the gap between Porzingis and whoever the next best player is on this team. He's playing that well. And in a season where Karl Anthony Towns wasn't playing, you'd think that Porzingis would be a lock for Rookie of the Year, but there are just so many impressive rookies. And if you want to hear me and Mark Roberts talking rookies, his podcast will be out in a couple of days, which I jumped on actually a couple of days ago, just the release has been delayed. And we had a big chat, about an hour, just talking rookies specifically, so you can hear my thoughts there about all the rookies. So make sure you're checking out Mark and the Daily Fantasy Basketball podcast. All right, the dud of the night. Marcus Morris. Warned about this guy that he was taking so many minutes to put up stats, and he had to be a must-own player, and he continues to be a must-own player, but this was yuck. 26 minutes for Morris, 4 points, 5 rebounds. His shot didn't fall, and with the game a blowout, he didn't play big minutes, so therefore he stunk. And that's the problem with Marcus Morris. He was putting up all the numbers he's putting up in just ludicrous minutes. He's averaging 37 minutes a game, and 14 and 6.5 is not good enough for those sort of numbers, for that sort of minutes. But while he's getting those minutes, that makes him a must-own player. But if the minutes slip down, then forget about it. There's no use in Marcus Morris. So, he's a guy that is starting to regress. Marvin Williams is another one of those players who started off the season red hot. I'm pretty confident that Ked Bazemore is going to be one of those guys as well that starts regressing down to who we sort of knew that they were. But Marcus Morris continues to have to be owned, but with Stanley Johnson playing well here, over the course of the season, it might be January, it might be February, Marcus Morris might not be a must-own player at that stage. So not a good night from Morris. But if he has a couple of big games in a row and someone believes in him as a top 50 guy, A, they're wrong, but B, you should sell off Marcus Morris and try and get rid of him, because I just think that it's the only way for him to go from the way he started this season is down. And Maybe it's the start of it. I don't know. It could just be a blowout and the minutes are limited. He's going to play 37 minutes every game from here on out and still be inefficient and still put up not good numbers. But it's something to bear in mind with him that his stats are very, very, very high minute dependent. And that's not a good position to be in. The daily fantasy value play of the day is Shabazz Napier. He was minimum salary. He was 3,500. He put up 32.10 DraftKings, or it's not DraftKings, FanDuel points. He played 29 minutes. He had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and 1 absolute dickhead of a coach. I know that's not a fantasy stat, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, but Scott Skiles. Seriously. Scott Skiles. We'll talk about that soon. But Shabazz Napier, the daily fantasy play of the day for his big performance. All right, let's get into these games now in a little bit more detail. Let's see what we can derive from looking at these stats. The first game of the night was the Sacramento Kings and the Charlotte Hornets. Huge game, overtime game, just tasty fantasy numbers all over the place here. Let's start with a man that I'm happy to admit that I was pretty wrong on, Rajon Rondo. 46 minutes for him, 14 points, a 3, 8 rebounds, 20 assists, a Sacramento Kings record, 4 steals, a block, 6 of 12 from the field. He did have 6 turnovers, and I'm still not convinced that he will remain this player, but he looks completely different to what we saw in Dallas, clearly, but even what we saw in Boston last year, and even what we saw in Boston the year before, he looks back to the Rondo that was around when I bought his jersey, and I do own a Rondo Boston Celtics jersey because he used to be one of my favorite players until he just turned into a whining dickhead. That looks like it's sort of over. He's clearly gained George Karl's trust. He's playing big minutes. Darren Collison's being now an afterthought. And Rondo's putting up big numbers. He's averaging for the season, 10.8 assists, 12.7 points, which is not good. A 3, definitely a bonus for Rondo. 7.6 rebounds, 10.8 assists, 2.1 steals, and 45% from the field. He's also shooting 36% from the free throw line, so that is just abysmal, but it's only on 1.5 attempts, so there's not much to really... Like, it hurts you a bit, but it is recoverable from. But for now, look, he's at the moment, when I mentioned it on Friday's show, that when I looked at the last 2 weeks' rankings, Rajon Rondo was the 11th ranked player. I don't think he's going to be a top 15 player. I don't think he's going to be a top 30 player this year. I think he might struggle to be a top 50 player. But everything he's doing at the moment is just... It's super impressive from a fantasy point of view. DeMarcus Cousins had 30 and 11 with two threes for DeMarcus Cousins and 3 blocks. He did hurt his back towards the end of the game, just a stiff back. Who knows what that means moving forward, but he did have to miss portions of overtime due to it. So it's something we do have to pay attention to and see if there's any ongoing issue with his back. We'll monitor it going forward. Hopefully he doesn't have to miss any time. Rudy Gay returned from his injury, 28 and 10 with 2 threes. Good return from Rudy Gay. Marco Bellinelli played 38 minutes. He was clearly the preferred option to Ben McLemore, 17 points with 2 steals and 3 assists for Bellinelli, while McLemore had 19 minutes and 10 points. He's not a standard league option, nor is Willie Cauley-Stein, who played 8 minutes for 1 rebound and 1 assist, while Costa Kufos got 24 minutes and just keeps producing 10 and 7 and 3 blocks, and it is not sexy. But it's great for daily fantasy given his salary, and it's great for those deeper leagues when you know you want a guy to give 22 minutes and just put up these nice numbers, and he did it again. Darren Collison's an interesting one. He got us another 29 minutes, but he's just not producing since he's come back from this injury. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. I don't think you need to hold him in 10-team leagues, and in 12-team leagues, depending on who's around, he can be dropped, just depending on who he's around, though. Again, I say this all the time. When a player's droppable, it's not like, let's just drop him and then not pick anyone up, because what's the point in that? Like, cause if there's no one out there who's actually more appealing than them, just hold, because something good might come of it. But he's in a bit of a slump. His last 4 games are giving him 8 points, 2.8 assists, 1.3 steals. But the silver lining there is that he's shooting 32%. Now, his last 3 seasons, he shot 47, 47, and 47% from the field. He is due for a correction here. The shot attempts are just at 10 a game, so it's a little bit low. The steals are right on season numbers. The assists are a little bit low, but that shot percentage comes up, and then we start talking and go, all right, Collison's coming back. So if you can hold, I'm happy to hold, because he's not a 16% worse shooter than what he's been throughout his entire career. I'm pretty confident in saying that he's not going to be shooting 16%, which is what he's been doing, 16% worse, which is what he's been doing since coming back from the injury. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But I understand that the need to, not the need to panic, but the panic, like, ooh, what's Collison doing? Rondo's killing it. Collison's still getting 28 minutes a game, even with Rondo getting these big minutes. They're playing together a lot. His shot is just not falling. And maybe him and Rondo playing together is not great for his game, doesn't open things up, but I still believe that he's going to be a better than a 32% shooter. So just bear that in mind when you have a look at, oh, I need to drop Darren Collison, because there'll be situations where it's fine to drop him, but it's not going to be every situation. Nick Batum for the Hornets went 18, 10, and 8, almost a triple-double, a 3, 2 steals, and a block. You're fantastically happy if you drafted Nick Batum. Marvin Williams alluded to him earlier that he is who we thought he was. 19 points for Williams, 19 minutes for Williams, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. And he's been really effective this year, but the fact remains that he's not good. He's not a good player. He's a minutes thief that should be going to guys like Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky. But we always have to follow what's happening with the minutes in fantasy. He's averaging 31 over the season, and the numbers, they're not fantastic. Like 10-7 is all right. But the value that you got from him was 1.5 threes. It was 1.2 blocks. It was 0.7 steals. If the minutes come down, and it comes down to where it should, and that is low 20s to mid 20s, then his value is going to drop off. So you have to keep holding him now, but by no means is he locked into a steady role or locked into a definite fantasy value. Cody Zeller played 28 minutes here, 12-6, a nice night from him. Frank Kaminsky's playing a lot better, 21 minutes for him. So there's competition for Marvin Williams' minutes. So that's not making him a lock for me. PJ Hairston returned, played his stock standard 19 minutes as the starter, 5-6 with a 3, nothing to see there. Alec Jefferson played just 23 minutes. That allowed Kaminsky and Zeller to get more minutes too, 10-3 for Jefferson. So he's been a massive roller coaster this season. And Jeremy Lin, 31 minutes, 14-3-3, 2 steals and a block. He's a borderline 12-team league guy, as is Jeremy Lamb, who had 11-5 in his 26 minutes. Still shot the ball well, though, which I still can't get my head around. The fact that he is now the greatest shooter of all time, apparently. Here it is, the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Thankfully, the Orlando Magic got smashed, 117-103. So Scott Skiles, he decided to shake things up and just play everyone 25 minutes, basically. 24 minutes to Andrew Nicholson. Even his boyfriend, Evan Fournier, played 23. Aaron Gordon played 25. Nick Vucevic played 26. Toby Harris played 25. Victor Oladipo played 26. Lord Alfred Payton played 19. Mario Hezonja played 14. Shabazz Napier played 29, the most on the team. I don't know what to say about Scott Skiles. I understand to a degree what he's trying to do. But I think that this sort of shit doesn't fly in life or in the NBA anymore. You have got guys who are supremely talented. Nick Vucevic, Victor Oladipo, Alfred Payton. You've got guys who aren't. Andrew Nicholson, Jason Smith, Shabazz Napier to a lesser degree. He's still pretty talented. And these guys are all talented, you know, relatively. But I don't see this developing this team into becoming a good team. I don't see these moves doing anything positive. Now, there's going to be people who disagree with me and think Skiles is going to get something out of them. But you know what he's going to get out of them? He might get a 7th seed out of them for 1 year. He'll piss everybody off, and then he'll get fired. And what does that end up doing? Did that help the Bucks do anything good? Did it help the Bulls do anything good? No. It didn't do anything to them. It didn't help them at all. I would say it didn't help the development of any players. It didn't help the team get better at all. It got them a piss-poor mid-table finish. And that's exactly what the Magic... Except they're worse. Except the Magic aren't going to actually be as good as that. Whereas letting these young guys all develop together, it's just... Yeah, he's probably pissed off that the GM doesn't have more mediocre veterans on this team so he could play the minutes. What do we do fantasy-wise? You can't do anything. He hinted he's going to make an adjustment to the starting lineup, shake things up. Mate, you've already shook things up the last three games, and it hasn't worked, so I don't know what he's going to do. But if you've got a streaming spot, adding Aaron Gordon might be worth it. Gordon had 11-6 with 3 blocks in this game and a 3. He's got supreme fantasy potential, Gordon. He just hasn't really been able to get a look in this season. If they shake it up and he plays 30 minutes, then you're going to want to own him. Now, you're not going to want to own Jason Smith. if he plays minutes. If Shabazz Napier gets 30 minutes over Alfred Payton, first of all, I'll certify this guy insane, but he has value too because he got 9 assists here in his 29 minutes. But I'm not going, if I'm making an addition of one of these guys, and they, because I think they're going to make that change, it's Aaron Gordon. Because I can't see that, you know, Payton had been playing like 37 minutes on 19 minutes benched. Like, where does that come from? So much what this guy does just doesn't make sense to me, and it's really hard to get a read on. It's 3 poor games in a row from Oladipo. Skiles induced. Same with Nick Vucevic. 12-5 in 25 minutes is not bad. 10-3-2 in 25 minutes for Oladipo is not bad. But in 25 minutes, it's a real pain in the ass. Now, Evan Fournier was red hot. Evan Fournier hit all 3 of his threes. He was 4-5 from the field and then played just 23 minutes. Nah, you don't need to play anymore. You're playing too well. That seems to be the logic. You just keep holding these guys. You don't drop Vucevic or Oladipo or Payton or Fournier or Harris. You just hold them all. And if you've got a spot, maybe you add Gordon and you see what plays out over the rest of this week. But I know Orlando Magic fans are pissed. And if there's any listening, please let me know. I've spoken to Philip Rossman-Reich, who was on this podcast, the Orlando Magic preview. Spoke to him today. He runs the blog Orlando Magic Daily. And Orlando fans are frustrated by it. We're only this far into the season. And if it keeps going, it's going to continue because I don't know if it's... Is it going to give them anything positive? At this point, I don't know. Look, Skiles doesn't give two shits about your fantasy team, and he shouldn't. He shouldn't give two shits about your fantasy team or my fantasy team or the fantasy industry or daily fantasy. But it's not working. It's not winning games. It's not developing players. It's not doing what his job is, and that's what concerns me. Do the best with what you've got. Don't stuff it up. And he could be irreparably damaging the relationship that some of these players have with the franchise. And that's just going to put this team completely on its ass for quite a while. That's my thoughts on Scott Skiles. Feel free to disagree with me. Feel free to disagree with what's happening in Orlando. Let me know. Maybe there's something I'm completely missing. And I understand that some of the reasons he does it is for defensive purposes. But there's two ways to win games. You can win it offensively. You can win it defensively. You can also coach without being a complete asshole. And I don't think Skiles understands that at this point. The Cavs. Kevin Love on fire. He's had a really good season. 34-8, 6 threes, 4 assists. Big night from him. And LeBron James, a little bit quiet, 15-6-13. Still horrible on his free throws. 1 of 5 here. He is almost definitely a punt free throw guy at this point. And J.R. Smith getting real red hot as well. He's a must-own player in 12-team leagues. 26 points, 6 threes, a steal, a block, 2 assists. Really, really good lately since he came back from that injury. Tristan Thompson, again, he just did what he did. 75% from the field, 14 rebounds and 9 points. So, yes, he's must own if you want rebounds and field goal percentage. If you're looking for all-round production, he's just not going to do it. And that's okay. You just need to get what you get out of him. Andy Varejao had 8 rebounds in his 13 minutes, and there's not much else to really talk about with the Cavs, because I've already talked about Matthew Dellavedova. The New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. Carmelo Anthony bounced back from a poor performance in Houston, 21-8. 4 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, a big night from Melo, a big night from Porzingis. And Aaron Aflalo did that thing again where he looks like he's a good player, but he's not. 33 minutes for Aflalo, 11 points, 1-3, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. You look at that and go, that's all right. Yeah, he's a scorer, he's a 3-point shooter, but he's not. 11 points doesn't help. 1-3 doesn't help. It's not enough. It's not enough for this guy. And I know a lot of people are big Aaron Aflalo fans. I was having a partial argument with someone on Twitter today. We weren't arguing, we were sort of going back and forth, and he was saying, oh, Aflalo's going to be a top 70 player. And if Aflalo's a top 70 player this year, I'll eat this microphone. He doesn't provide enough. He just doesn't. He's a scorer who doesn't score. Doesn't cut it. Jose Calderon had a real stinker after a real string of nice games. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. If you added him, don't panic too much. Just see what happens over the next couple. Robin Lopez, 12-8 in 30 minutes. And that's great because Robin Lopez can put up numbers when he plays. But the problem is he might play 20 minutes in the next game. And we never really know how that's going to play out. Langston Galloway played 23 off the bench, 2-4. He's not a must-own in 12-team leagues. But the minutes are still okay for 14-teamers. And Jerian Grant is clearly not pushing. Even with Jose Calderon not really producing, he played just 12 minutes for 0 points and 1 rebound. So the stash quality of Jerian Grant is down to real deep leagues and dynasties. Miami Heat, bit of a nice game from Goran Dragic, 13-9-5, 3 steals, a 3. Pretty decent game. Still not blowing you away, but not a bad night. Chris Bosch, 16 and 6 with 2 steals. Back to Dragic. So if you're going to buy low on him, it's not a good idea to buy low after this game. Wait till he has another stinker and then go real low on him. Hassan Whiteside, 11, 11 and 5 to keep his league lead in blocks going. And Dwayne Wade, 16, 4 and 5, which is a pretty mediocre performance from him. Same with Luol Deng, who's not a must-own player in 12-team leagues for me. Justice Windsor got his standard 31 minutes off the bench, 7 and 6 with a 3 and a block, but he's not a big enough fantasy producer to own, while Tyler Johnson continues to get it done most games. 21 minutes for him, 12 points, a triple one, 3 rebounds, but it's the minutes problem. It's just not high enough to look at owning in 12-team leagues, because there'll be some nights he gets 25, some nights he gets 20, some nights he gets 17, and if his shot doesn't fall, then he's not going to be racking up assists or racking up big steals or blocks or anything like that. So it is really hard to own Tyler Johnson in standard leagues. For as good as some of his lines look, they're not always looking good. The Philadelphia 76ers put up a fight. They couldn't get the victory. Jahlil Okafor, 25 and 12 with 2 blocks. He got the better of Karl Anthony Towns here. Definitely big night for Okafor. Isaiah Cannon getting some minutes again. 30 minutes for Cannon, 14, 3 and 3 with 3 threes. That was a mouthful. A steal and a block. He's really helpful for points and for threes. And you talk about guys who are three-point shooters and scorers. Isaiah Cannon's a better option than Aaron Aflalo, because at least he can actually do these things in bulk more often than Aflalo. Hollis Thompson had a nice night as well. 33 minutes for him, 15 and 5 with 3 threes, but he's clearly only a deep league consideration guy. TJ McConnell, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. So doing pretty much what you want him to do. The scoring is just never going to be there for him. Nick Stauskas started, hurt his knee. He played just 12 minutes. That's what allowed Hollis Thompson and Isaiah Cannon to get more minutes. And if Stauskas is out, we're probably going to see more of those guys moving forward. So if you're desperate for threes, you know, I'd add Cannon over Thompson, but both those guys have value. Nerlens Noel started but struggled, 7 and 5. 2 steals and a block, so the defensive numbers are there, but he's clearly struggling in his second season. The pairing of him and Okafor, maybe that's not the best pairing. You still have to hold the course. If someone drops him, I'm definitely owning him. I'm picking him up and spending a sizable chunk of my fab on him, but he's not adding up to that, you know, top 30, top 40 value that we projected him for at the start of the season. A guy who is red hot, though, and I don't know how many times I said it, but Robert Covington has to be owned. 35 minutes for Covington off the bench, 18 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. He's a must-own in every single format. He was a must-own in every single format. I owned him about 3 leagues. I kept him through all the injuries at the start. Because he's good. He's actually good. It doesn't matter if he's coming off the bench, and he should be starting over Jeremy Grant, let's be honest. 9-6 for Grant with 2 blocks. That's 2 big games in a row for Covington now that he's fully healthy. He has to be owned. It's pretty straightforward. We're going to see the return of Kendall Marshall and Tony Roden in probably the next 2 to 3 weeks, so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with TJ McConnell. But McConnell's not playing well enough to deny those guys minutes, I don't think. Andrew Wiggins had a really big night. 32 minutes for Wiggins, a 3, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. That's a fantastic fantasy line. Big from the field, big from the free throw line. Probably his best fantasy performance of his career. Just a huge, huge performance for him. But over the course of the season, he's still only ranked 123rd. 22.3 points, which is awesome, and it's great in a head-to-head league there. But everything else is below average. 0.8 threes, 3.6 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.6 steals, 0.7 blocks. Well, the 0.7 blocks is marginally above average. 43 from the field, 75 from the free throw line, 2.2 turnovers. These are all below average, and his value is buoyed completely by his points. And that's okay for what you need, but he looked a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, but still not a great fantasy producer. Ricky Rubio, 8-6 with 11 assists, so that's a nice standard Rubio line. And Kevin Garnett turning back the clock, 8-10 with a couple of steals in his 18 minutes. Now, Karl Anthony Towns was bothered by fouls. He was also bothered by Jahlil Okafor. His worst game of his career, 6-2, still gave you a steal and 2 blocks, but not a great night for him. And that meant that Gorgui Dieng played 29 minutes. So look at this and go, wow, look at Gorgui Dieng, 29 minutes, 12-5, 2 blocks and a steal. Dieng's back, release Gorgui Dieng, he's back. He's not. He's back because Karl Anthony Towns got limited. And he was able to play big minutes with Towns sitting. They played literally the 48 minutes of center together. 19 minutes and 6 seconds for Towns, 28 minutes and 54 seconds for Gorgui Dieng. So it was Towns off, Dieng on, Dieng off, Towns on. That's as straightforward as what it was. So when Towns is playing 31 minutes, Dieng has zero value. So if you can predict a game when Towns is going to have foul trouble, then you can go and add Gorgie Jing in that sort of situation. But it's just not ownable in most leagues at this point, unfortunately. Kevin Martin into the starting lineup, 32 minutes for him, 11 points. Not a great line, but I'm still thinking that he's probably a 12-team league guy. Zach LaVine went 12-5 in 25 bench minutes. And Shabazz Muhammad, who we thought was going to get a bigger role, he plopped on us all. 7 points with a 3 in 16 minutes. He wasn't a guy to add in 12-team leagues. He was a nice DFS option, but turned out that he actually wasn't. So sorry about that one, but you know, it was a punt play and you hoped it was going to turn out. The Detroit Pistons got pumped by the Milwaukee Bucks here. We had the Greg Monroe rematch, Greg Monroe versus Ilya Sova, you know, revenge games. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was the best of the Pistons, 17 points with 3 threes, not much else. Drummond went 15-15. Anthony Tolliver had 13 points and 3 threes off the bench, and I was able to grab Anthony Tolliver in a 30-team dynasty, 360 player deep league yesterday off the waiver wire. I was shocked that he was there. So any of the guys in that league who were listening, pretty happy I grabbed Tolliver yesterday and to get him with that production. He's a nice, you know, bench role guy for really deep leagues. Ersan Ilyasova along with Marcus Morris struggled, and the reason Ilyasova didn't get the dart of the night is he's not owned in enough leagues, and he also added a steal and a block, but he was 0 of 7 from the field, 3 rebounds and 2 assists. Not a good night from Ersan. Stanley Johnson looked good, 16 points. He took 14 shots, which is important too. We're still not adding him yet. We're just monitoring. Reggie Jackson went 7-7, while Spencer Dinwiddie went 4-2-3 in his 17 minutes. This game was that much of a blowout that Darren Hilliard played 13 minutes. And if you don't know who Darren Hilliard is, I'm sure you're not alone. Put your hand up if you don't know who he is. I can't see you, but I'm sure there's plenty of hands going up all around the world. The Bucks again, was a blowout. So minutes were distributed sort of all over the place. Jared Bayless got big minutes again. 31 minutes, 14-6-4, 3 threes and 3 steals. Now, how much of this is the blowout point of view or the fact that Kidd really likes Bayless? Now, we know that he likes Bayless. The last game, he only played 24 minutes. He's borderline 12-team valuable. You can add him. You can see exactly what goes on. But, you know, he's not a must-own player now with Mayo back in the mix. One of the better things we saw from the Bucks in this game was Michael Carter-Williams played better. 12-3-8, 3 steals and a block, and that's exactly what you want out of Carter Williams if you owned him. Giannis went 17-6-4, and Greg Monroe went 20-13 with 2 steals. So good games from all those guys. Same with Chris Middleton, who went 16-3-4 and 2 threes. And Chris Middleton's been dropped in leagues. And please, 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 can you add Chris Middleton if he's been dropped in your league? I don't know what's going on. Yes, he started off the season struggling, but he has to be owned everywhere. It's like Damari Carroll got dropped at the start of the season. It's like people are playing back in 2013 when people didn't know who Carroll and Middleton were. We've had 2 solid seasons of these guys being good. Go and add them if they get dropped. General Grievous Vasquez, 10-4-3, and Jabari Parker had 12 points with not much else in 27 minutes. I still don't think that he is a must-own standard league guy while he's getting himself back into the swing of things. The Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs. Markieff Morris, he spits on all your desecration of his name. 28 points for Markieff, 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. The light has come back on. No, it hasn't. The light hasn't come. The shot has started to fall again. That's what really was limiting Markieff. So again, if he was dropped, you got to make sure you own him. He was a guy, he's a top 100 player. And it's when someone is struggling because their shot's not falling, that's what you need to look at. Are his shots still there? Is he shooting 20% less than what he normally does? Then that's a fair sign that he's going to turn it around. The other numbers are pretty similar. Yeah, they're pretty similar. And Markieff Morris fell into that. So he's back. He needs to be owned. Brandon Knight, 18-3-8. There was no Eric Bledsoe in this game. So Devin Booker got his first start, 4-4 in 24 minutes. A little bit disappointing from him. PJ Tucker played 30 minutes and didn't do much. He's still not a guy that I think is needed to be owned in 12-team leagues. And unfortunately, Tyson Chandler isn't either. 1 point, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 20 minutes. They're just not playing him. Alex Len played 6 minutes. They are going small a lot. Markieff at center. Mirza Teletovic is getting more minutes. John Lue is getting minutes. You can drop Tyson Chandler if there's someone to pick up. Alex Len is clearly not a stash option either. Is Teletovic someone that's worth looking at? Maybe if you need the threes. In a 14-team league, definitely. He had 3 threes here for 9 points. 6 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. So a nice night from Mirza Teletovic. That's about his 3rd or 4th solid game in a row. Onto the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, MVP, kept going, 24-13, 4 assists, 4 steals, a block and a 3, a great night from him. Tony Parker went 20 points with 8 assists and 3 steals too, so big night from Parker. And Danny Green, is he back? He's close enough for me to say, yeah, not for me to say, because I said plenty of times, hold him. 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 threes, no steals and blocks, but he's coming. The threes are coming. He's getting back into it. And look, Danny Green is going to be someone that if you're pissed at the amount of points that Danny Green's giving you, well, you didn't draft properly, because Danny Green was never going to give you points. He was never going to be a 15-point scorer, a 16-point scorer. That's not what he does. He gives you threes, he gives you rebounds, he gives you nice percentages, he gives you out-of-position steals and blocks. That's what he does. Now, the steals and blocks haven't quite come through this season. The threes are starting, the rebounds are there. And don't bemoan the fact that Danny Green, oh, he's not scoring 20 points. Where's my points? He's killing my points. Well, he was always going to kill your points, and you needed to draft around that fact. So you can't use that as an excuse, like, oh, he's pissing me off, he's terrible, because that's always what he was going to do. And when you get a night of 18 points, it's a real bonus from Danny Green. It's the other areas where the value comes from. A points league, he's way less valuable. But in a categories league, a head-to-head, a roto league, he has tremendous value. And if he was dropped in a league, I'm jumping all over him. Tim Duncan, 7-8 in 32 minutes. David West got the start for LaMarcus Aldridge, 5-3 with 3 steals in 22 minutes. And even with Aldridge out, David West is not a great fantasy option. Good to see my boy Bobo Marjanovic play 5 minutes as well. Didn't do much, but I just wanted to say Boban Marjanovic. The last game of the night, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz. This was a blowout. It was over before halftime, so there's not a lot to say. Kevin Durant returned. He went 27-6 with 3 threes, 4 steals and a block. Big numbers all over the place for Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook went 10 of 10 from the free throw line for 27-9 in 27 minutes. Deion Waiters went 21-3-6 with 12-3-6 in 28 minutes off the bench. But it was a blowout. So minutes were all over the place. And Nick Collison played 18. Kyle Singler got some minutes. Andre, look, it was just spread all over the place. Don't read into it. Same as from the Jazz. Let's not worry too much about what happened. Rodney Hood played 20 minutes. This is how much of a blowout it was. Hal Nito played 23 minutes. This is a guy who's barely got over 20 in any game. They were just trying things out. The game was over. Forget about it. Don't read anything into this. Rudy Gobert did suffer a bruised tailbone. He'll likely be ready to go. And he's been a massive disappointment for a lot of people this season if they drafted him, much like Danny Green, with the wrong expectations. Now, this was not a good night. No blocks and 5 rebounds for Gobert. And he's definitely been a disappointment. But maybe not to the extent that some people might view him as a disappointment. All right, that's it for the games from Monday. Felt like there was a lot to talk about with that today. Going to have a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk daily fantasy for Tuesday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. And I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart break so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. I'll take you to the place that we both met so long ago. All right, we're back now, and that's called Don't Go by the band Columbia, who is a band from one of the listeners, Bryce Whitney. He's singing that song. And I've had a few people ask me where they can get Bryce's music from. You can either tweet Bryce, just Bryce Whitney, you can find him, or you can check the show notes on Red Rock Basketball. There's a link there, or on hardwoodparoxysm.com. There's a link to all the songs that are played on the podcast and where you can find their music. Because a few people have asked me, because as I mentioned before, Bryce's song is pretty catchy. And what I have to do now is when we get to the break, I turn my microphone off so I can sing along. Because otherwise, I don't want to sing along on the podcast, Bryce. I don't want to do your song a disservice or an injustice by putting my horrible vocals over. It's enough you have to listen to me talk for an hour a day, let alone hear me sing. So let's get into these games. Let's talk daily fantasy for Tuesday. There are 6 games on, a really nice slate. That 6 games, it's just a nice amount of games. I really do like that sort of level of games. A lot of these games don't have spreads yet. It's because of a few injury concerns. The first one is the Pacers and the Wizards. We don't know if CJ Miles is playing. He's probable with an ankle. Joseph Young is likely back. He doesn't have much of an impact. And George Hill, he likely will play. Now, he had that infection. He was out for a while. He did dress and sit on the bench in the last game, so you'd think that he's going to be okay. And for the Wizards, Nene is doubtful to play with a calf issue. Of course he is. It's Nene. He should have an injury designation, doubtful to not play. That would be more useful because it would happen less often. Where are we? The Indiana Pacers. CJ Miles, I think, is a really nice play. He's only priced at $4,900, and that's pretty cheap. Now, if he plays, that's good value. He's averaging 27 across his last three, and at $4,900, I think that's a good result. The Wizards also give up points to opposition small forwards, so there's definitely something you can get from CJ Miles here. Paul George has been killing it. Averaging 45 over his last three. A little bit quiet in the last one, but I don't think that's too much to be concerned about. You've got to shell out big money for him, but at 9,500, I reckon he's a pretty nice play here. Bradley Beal stunk in his game back, first game back. He's at 6,900, so the price isn't that high. So if you think that, he needed that run, he needed to get out there, we can have a look at Bradley Beal, maybe. And Chris Humphries, he was horrible in the last game. But if Nene is not playing at 3,800 in one of your tournament lineups as a punt, maybe look at Chris Humphries, and definitely not looking at him in cash games. There's no chance I'm looking at him in that sort of format. But in a tournament, not too bad. Otto Porter, averaging 32 lately, not a horrible matchup for him. At 5,800, I don't mind it. He should be able to put up some okay numbers. Not much else really appeals here. John Wall's been really struggling, averaging just 30.9 in his last three. At 8,800, it's just it's not enough. He needs to do more than that. He needs to be giving you 40 plus, 45 plus, and his splits are just not doing that at the moment. And the Pacers also shut down opposition point guards, so we can leave John Wall alone. Now, obviously, leaving George Hill. I'm leaving him alone. 6,300 coming back. We just don't know what sort of workload he's going to have. He was playing massive minutes before, but in his first game back from an illness, is he going to go back to 36 minutes? I'm going to say no. And Monte Ellis, a guy that did okay filling in for George Hill, but at 6,700, I don't think he really stacks up to that. Now, an interesting play is Jordan Hill, who's averaging 28.5 over his last three. He put up 40.7 in the last one, and he's priced at 5,200. If you bank on Jordan Hill putting up 25 fantasy points, that's not a bad bet. I think the chances of it is pretty low, but he's been playing really well. And at 5,200, maybe in a tournament, you think that he's obviously got 40-point upside because he's done it. Can he give you 30? There's a chance of that. So not a bad guy to look at. He's not the greatest, though, clearly. It's Jordan Hill. Dallas and Memphis is up next. Yeah, no spread for this one yet either because we don't know the status of, for a start, Zebo, who's missed the last two games with a sore knee. It is also the first game of a back-to-back for Dallas. So Chandler Parsons, Wes Matthews, do they play? Now, Wes Matthews sat out one half of the last back-to-back, but he played both halves of the back-to-back before that. I think there's more chance of Matthews playing both these games. I think there's little chance of Parsons playing both. But we don't know which one Parsons is going to miss. So we need to sort of keep an eye on that because it's going to change a lot. And for those last-minute updates, make sure you're on Basketball Monster as we update these things as they happen and all the daily fantasy value changes as such. If there is no Zebo, Jermichael Green becomes a nice punt option again. He's at a price at 3,600. He's averaging 13.5 across the last three, 17.5 he put up, and that doesn't seem like much, but at 3,600, 17.5 is enough. And if he gets 24 minutes, which he'll probably do with or without Zebo, he's worth a look. If Zebo's out, again, Marc Gasol gets a bigger bump. He's been awesome lately, 36.8 over his last three, 7,800, less than 8,000. You look for him to be a 40-point guy in this game. And Matt Barnes has been playing really well as well. 3,800, he's been getting big minutes. He played 31 in the last couple of games. At 3,800, it's almost hard not to play him in a tournament. In a cash game, they've got too many other options. Tony Allen, Courtney Lee, Jeff Green. Who's going to get the minutes? We don't exactly know. But Barnes has been trending upwards, so he's someone to pay attention to. A couple of cheaper options for the Mavericks. Devin Harris at 3,800 is more of a tournament play, but there's a little bit of something to look at there. Courtney Lee as well, much like Matt Barnes, has been trending up in minutes-wise. At 3,900, he's a cheap option. And Zaza Pachulia has been destroying teams lately, which is weird to say. 6,200 for Zaza, averaging 35. The Grizzlies do shut down opposition centers, so it's probably not a great matchup for Zaza, but if you want to ride a hot hand, he's one of the hottest hands going, as is Darren Williams, who's averaging 38. And the Grizzlies, while they're good defensively, they do allow point guards to get some points, so it's not a complete write-off to put him in your lineup, much as it's not a complete write-off to put Mike Conley, who's averaging 39 over his last five, priced at 6,900. So both those guys are okay options. They're not screaming out as being awesome, but they're screaming out as being, you know what, we're on hot streaks, let's see what happens. Boston and Atlanta, we do have a spread for this one. It's 3.5 points. The Hawks are favored. 202 is the total. Couple of injuries we need to pay attention to here, and it's all on Atlanta. Kent Bazemore and Tiago Splitter are both out. Paul Millsap is dealing with a sore shoulder. He'll likely play. Same with Jeff Teague with his ankle. He played that started that second half in the last game. So you imagine both of those guys are going to play, but I reckon there's a lot of value here. Jared Sullinger at 6,000. I like him against a Hawks team that gives up points to opposition power forwards. Kelly Olynyk in 3,800 is not a bad cheap option in a tournament, even in a cash game. If you're looking to slot someone in, there's still a bit of risk with the minutes, but he's averaging 18 over the last three, almost 16 points, and that's 16 points. It's not quite there, but if he gives you, he can go 20, he can go 25, he can go 40. And in a tournament, that's awesome. In a cash game, it's not as great. Paul Millsap at 8,600 is a great option, and Isaiah Thomas without Marcus Smart playing at 7,600, he's one of the better mid-price or high-price point guards on the board. I also like Al Horford. If Splitter's out, probably an extra couple. No, sorry, Splitter is out, probably an extra couple of minutes for Al Horford. An unconventional play is Thabo Sefolosha, 3,900 for him. He's averaging 27 across his last 3 minutes, 18 points. 18 points at 3,900 is pretty good. He put up 22.5 in the last game. That's also pretty good. The ceiling is not high on Thabo. But if he can get you, sneak you a couple of steals, get 7 or 8 points and 7 or 8 rebounds, that pretty much pays for himself at that sort of salary. Jeff Teague at 7,100. I don't think I want to really get involved with him at that price. Can't trust Kyle Korver this season. Evan Turner becomes intriguing at 5,400 without Marcus Smart. And Avery Bradley's been killing it. At $6,000, he is someone that you can now pay attention to, especially against a Hawks team that does allow shooting guards to start racking up the numbers. If for some reason Teague can't go, obviously Dennis Schroeder becomes our man in that situation. The Clippers and the Nuggets, there is no spread for this one because we do not know if Kenneth Faried is playing. He's listed as doubtful. Joffrey Lavernier, he just hasn't played basically all season with that back, so we're going to assume that he is out as well. I'm going to assume that Kenneth Faried is out too. So that gives us some value in that Nuggets front court. Darrell Arthur, or as we'd call him here in Australia, Darrell Arthur. $3,800 for him. He put up 31.6 in 34 minutes in the last game. He is someone that we can really look to at that minimum salary or almost minimum salary. And Nikola Jokic, his center buddy, at 4,300. He's had two awesome games out of his last three. He's averaging 31. These two guys are almost no-brainer guys to have a look at in this game. Even though the Clippers do limit the points to opposition big men, at those salaries and with the opportunity they've both got, it's going to be hard not to look at them. JJ Redick at 4,500, I think he's a really good option. Then the Nuggets allow shooting guards to go crazy. He had a really nice game against the Raptors after a struggle in the first game back from the back injury. He's someone we can pay attention to. And Emmanuel Mudiay has been playing really well as well. He's at almost 30 points over his last three at 6,200. He's not a bad guy to pay attention to here. DeAndre Jordan's also been playing a little bit better of late. 7,600, it's not bad. It might be a little bit on the expensive side. Blake Griffin at 90, it's not 2,900. That'd be obviously we're playing him at that. At 9,200, he's the best player on this team now, Blake Griffin. He struggled mightily against the Raptors. I think he bounces back for a big game against Darrell Arthur. He could absolutely kill him here. So at 9,200, I'm okay putting him. I'm not as okay as at 8,900 of Chris Paul, even though Paul is averaging more points than Griffin over their last three games, and you pay 300 less. I'm not sure I'm trusting Chris Paul in this matchup to put up numbers that suits me. 5,400 for Will Barton looks enticing, but he's only averaging 27, and that's okay. That's okay. Averaging 27 is fine, but the Clippers do shut down shooting guards. So if they can shut down Will Barton, who again is not a good player, he's not a great player. There's some risk in using Will Barton. I'm not using Jamal Crawford, probably not using Danilo Gallinari either at his price of 6,900. The Chicago Bulls and the Portland Trailblazers are up next. The Bulls are favored by 2. It is a total of 201. Derrick Rose is back. There is still no Aaron Brooks, so that means that point guard Kirk Heinrich is unlikely to be useful. Now, the Bulls, Now, what the Blazers do is against teams with big lineups, they were running Chris Kaman. Now, the Bulls have got a lot of talented big men, but I'm not sure Nikola Mirotic classifies as a big lineup because he's a stretch big. He's more of a mobile big. So I reckon they go Noah Vonleh, but I think they use Ed Davis a little bit more to combat when Taj Gibson goes in, when Joakim Noah goes in. So I think we'll be seeing a bit more Ed Davis. So at 4,400, Ed Davis is not a bad guy to have a look at. The Bulls do allow a lot of fantasy points to opposition power forwards as well. So that's something to pay attention to. And I love Mason Plumlee here at 6,000. I think that he's significantly, he's been awesome. 35 points across his last three, putting up big numbers. Al-Farouq Aminu as well at 29.7 in his last three. At $6,000, all three of those Blazers front court guys are worth a look. I don't mind CJ McCollum at 6,600. He's been averaging 32, which is all right. You probably want him to do a little bit more, but not a bad option. And Jimmy Butler at 8,400. Now, his value will probably likely dip with Derek Rose back. 8,400, it's not bad as a high-priced shooting guard, but it's definitely not the greatest situation. We can leave Rose alone. I don't know if we want to get involved with Damian Lillard, even though he's been averaging 43 points. Can he do it again? Yes, there's a chance that he goes off, but I'm not sure that I'm investing much in it, and I'm not risking Nikola Mirotic in cash games, Taj Gibson, or Joakim Noah in cash games. Mirotic, I'd be okay with looking at in a tournament against a team who is not great defensively. He's got an opportunity to put up some pretty nice numbers, but I'm not risking it in a cash game. The Golden State Warriors go for history against the Lakers. They look to win their 16th game in a row. They're favored by 17.5 points. That is huge. 213 is the over-under. It's hard to judge what to do with the Warriors, guys. You think Steph Curry could easily... He could put up 60 fantasy points in 25 minutes against the Lakers. But he might not even play 25 minutes. But it could be tighter than expected. He could play 35 and then go crazy. He's at less than 11,000. So he's not a bad guy to look at. But the risk of a blowout is there, and it's big. Now, Klay Thompson, on the other hand, at 6,500, even if it is a blowout, I don't mind it. He put up 36 in the last game. Looks to be getting slightly back on track. The 36 was his best performance. He's in a situation for a nice outing. And if you want a sneaky tournament guy, Sean Livingston, 3,500. He's averaging 11.5 in the last three. Against a Lakers backcourt that's poor, in a situation where he might get more minutes than usual, if he gives you 18 points, you're okay with that. Julius Randle, solid at 5,800. Andre Iguodala at 49 is not a bad bet. Draymond at 76. I'd probably steer clear of Draymond Green, to be honest. Here, a couple of Lakers guys I really like. D'Angelo Russell's minutes are trending up, thank God. Over 30 in the last couple. He put up 30 fantasy points in the last game. At 5,200, he's someone we look at. Same with Jordan Clarkson at 5,800. I would rather spend it on Russell in this matchup than I would on Clarkson, just because of the way that Russell's been putting up those stats in the last couple of games. All right, that is it for today's show, but I'm not going to forget. I'm going to put the DFS values up on the screen, and here are the value plays for Tuesday. At point guard, Sean Livingston, 3,500. D'Angelo Russell at 5,200, and Isaiah Thomas is the high price guy, 7,600. At shooting guard, JJ Redick, 4,500. Klay Thompson, 6,500. And then Jimmy Butler is that expensive guy at 8,400. Don't love it, though. Small forward, Thabo Sefolosha, 39. Al-Farouq Aminu, 6,000. And Paul George at 9,500. You couldn't get much more contrast between names. Thabo Sefolosha, Al-Farouq Aminu, Paul George. Daryl Arthur, 3,800. Jared Sullinger, 6,000. And Paul Millsap, 8,600. And then the big men, the centers. Nikola Jokic at 4,300. Mason Plumlee, 6,000. And Marc Gasol, 7,800. All right, guys. That is it for today's show. Make sure you are subscribing on iTunes and on YouTube. And leave a review on iTunes to really help the podcast grow. Again, this is a time to go out there and just blow up iTunes, put up a stack of reviews, and really help the show and help me out if you possibly can get some sponsors. I'd love to get a few more sponsors happening on the show and help keep the lights on at Red Rock HQ. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. There's always basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, and redrockbasketball.com. That's it. We're done. We'll be back with a big podcast again tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.